सुंदर
जय राधा माधव कुंज
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर गारी
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर
गारी
यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन यमुना तीर वन जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद
जय श्री
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada
Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya.
Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada,
Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Gaura Pramanandi, Jaya Vishnuvada Paramahamsa Parivachara, Asyatara Sri Srimaris Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki
Jai.
Nitai Gaura Pramanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthapita Lishnu Meditam All Krishna Goswami Dinamni. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthapita Lishnu Meditam Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamni. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachani Vishashani Vadibhasita Desitarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya
Narayanam namaskritya
Naram jaiva narotamam
Naram jaiva narotamam
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam
Tato jayamudiraya Nasta praishu abhadreshu
Nasta praishu abhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavate Uttama Sloke
Bhagavate Uttama Sloke
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki
Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki.
So today we start a new chapter. Chapter 9. Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, in the presence of Lord Krishna. Okay. Text 1. Suta vacha iti bita prajadrohat sarva dharma vivitsaya tato vinashanam pragat yatra deva vratopatat. Suta Goswami said, been afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthira went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows, about to pass away. So we're going to see Bhishma will meet Lord, the Supreme Lord, because that was his desire also before he leaves his body. Now Bhishma Dev, because he was such an amazing son, his father, King Santanu, gave him a blessing, a boon, that because he took a vow that he'll never get married, and for that, so that his father can be happy. So when Satyavati married Santanu, she made him, her father made him promise that he won't have a child, and he took the vow, and so that's why he got the name Bhishma. His name actually is Devavrata. Okay. So that's why the name here is also Devavrataha. Okay. If you all didn't see that, now you know. Okay, so Devavrata. So because of that great filial love for his father, and his father is not an ordinary person, very powerful king, a devotee of Lord Vishnu, Krishna, so he gave him a boon. And the boon is he cannot die, actually. He can only die if he wants to die.
By his own will.
Yeah, it's by his will only. So in the battle of Kurukshetra, he couldn't be killed. Not possible. Even, of course Krishna can do it, but because Krishna recognizes the desire of a pure devotee, so he didn't attempt to fight in the battle itself. But even Bhishma couldn't be killed, so then of course the Pandavas approached him and said, how we can defeat you? Because he can't be defeated. Then he said, put Satyaki in front when you fight, because I can see who she is really in the last life, and I will not fight a woman. So then they put her. Arjuna would ask Satyaki to come in front, and then he'll shoot the arrow. So Bhishma wouldn't counter the arrows. So all the arrows would hit his body. Shikhandi. So then he allowed all the arrows into his body. That's the only way that he was immobilized. Of course, he's dying in that sense, but he had the power to live whenever he wanted. So that is the way the defeated, but he had a very strong desire to Krishna before he leaves his body. And Krishna had a strong desire that he speak the dharma, the how to rule a country, all those dharma. So therefore, you know, the word here is there also. It says dharma, vivitsaya, how to understand, how to execute the all kinds of acts of religion or dharma. So that's why they went to Bhishma, because he's one of the Mahajanas. He knew the scripture inside out. Text 2.
Tadate bratara sarve sadashvai swarna bhushitai anvagachan ratair vipra vyasa domyadayastata.
At that time, all his brothers followed him on beautiful chariots drawn by first-class horses, decorated with gold ornaments. With them were Vyasa and rishis like Domya, the learned priests of the Pandavas, and others. Text 3.
Bhagavan api viprashi ratena sadananjaya satair vyarochata nirpaha kuvera eva guyakai.
O sage, amongst the Brahmanas, Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, also followed seated on a chariot with Arjuna. Thus, King Yudhishthira appeared very aristocratic, like Kuvera, surrounded by his companions, the Guhyakas. He is very opulent. Continue, text 4.
Drisva nipatitam bhumau divaschutam ivamaram pranemu pandava bhishmam sanuga saha chakrina.
Seeing him, Bhishma, lying on the ground like a demigod fallen from the sky, the Pandava king Yudhishthira, along with his younger brothers and Lord Krishna, bowed down before him. So this almost 2 months maybe after he's shot. Okay. So he's waiting for a lot. About 2 months, I would say, because
in the middle of the war.
Yeah, so about 1.5 months, 2 months, like that. Yeah, because he's waiting also for the sun to go in the Uttara direction, so that he'll leave his body in the auspicious time. So they came. They paid obeisance to Bhishma, who's on the ground because he's a grandsire. Text 5.
Tatra brahma rishaya sarve deva rishayascha sattama raja rishayascha tatrasan drastum bharata pungavam.
Just to see the chief of the descendants of King Bharata, Bhishma, all the great souls in the universe, namely the rishis, amongst the demigods, brahmanas and kings, all situated in the quality of goodness, were assembled there. So all kinds of advanced personalities all came to see, and they all already knew he's going to leave his body, but he's also going to speak something great with the to his grandson. Text 6 and 7.
Parvato narado domyo bhagavan badarayanaha brihat svabharadvajaha sashishyo renukasutaha vashista indra pramadas trito gritsamadostitaha kakshivan gautama strischa kausikota sudarshanaha.
All the sages like Parvata Muni, Narada, Domya, Vyasa, the incarnation of God, Brihadasva, Bharadvaja, and Parasurama and disciples, Vashishta, Indra, Pramada, Trita, Gritsamada, Asita, Kakshivan, Gautama, Atri, Kaushika, and Sudarshana were present. All these are great personalities. Renukasuta means Parasurama. Okay? Brahma Rata is Shukadev. In the next verse. Anyway, we're not going to talk about each personality, so you can read that on your own.
Text 8. Anyecha munayo brahman brahmaratadayo malaha shishyar upeta ajagmu kasyapangira sadaya.
And many others like Shukadev Goswami and other purified souls, Kasyapa and Angirasa and others, all accompanied by their respective disciples, arrived there. Okay, I'm not going to go into that also. Text 9.
Tan Samitan Mahabhagan Upalabhya Vasuttama Pujayam Asa Dharmonyo Deshakala Vibhagave.
Bhishma Dev, who was the best amongst the 8 Vasus, received and welcomed all the great and powerful rishis who assembled there, for he knew perfectly all the religious principles according to time and place. So even though he was in such a situation, he still was able to welcome them. How? Because he knew the principles very well, and therefore he acted accordingly, even though he is lying on the thing. So he is wishing them in humility. Okay. The word Vasu Uttama, Vasuttama, refers to Bhishma Dev. Okay. All right, so text 10.
What does it mean, Brahmarata?
I haven't really looked into the words Brahmarata, what it means. Text 10.
Krishnam chadat prabhavajna asinam jagadishwaram ridhistam pujayam asa maya yopatta vigraham.
Lord Sri Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, yet he manifests his transcendental form by his internal potency. His very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Deva, and since Bhishma Deva knew of his glories, he worshipped him duly. Okay. Maya Yupata Vigraham refers to Krishna. And it particularly means Krishna had some conflict with Yudhishthira, so he covered up the thing by yogamaya, discrimination. Or in another way, you can say Krishna, who brought himself before the eyes of Bhishma. Bhishma is known as Upata, and he brought it by his mercy, Maya. So that's another way of seeing it. Okay. So that's why Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord's omnipotency is displayed by simultaneous presence in every place. And then when he manifests his eternal transcendental form in the material world, he does so by his internal potency. Okay. All these truths were known to Sri Bhishma Dev, who worshipped him accordingly. Text 11. Panduputran upasinan prasraya prema sangatan abhyachastanuragasrair andibhutena chakshusha. Sons of Maharaj Pandu was sitting silently nearby, overtaken with affection for their dying grandfather. Seeing this, Bhishma Dev congratulated them with feeling. There were tears of ecstasy in his eyes, for he was overwhelmed by love and affection. So naturally, people are going to be crying. Bhishma Dev also, but not the way normal people cry. This is on a different level. He was overwhelmed by love and affection, but Prabhupada says, tears of ecstasy. So he's on a different level. He understands his grandsons are exalted and they are pure devotees. And he's remembering all the difficulties they went through. So that's why he feels that way. Because he didn't do much. You know, he could have done. So he's humbled by their presence. 9:12. Aho kastam aho nyayam yadyuyam dharma nandanaha jivitum narhata klistam vipra dharma chutasrayaha. Bhishma Dev said, oh, what terrible sufferings and what terrible injustices you good souls suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations, yet you were protected by the Brahmanas, God and religion. It's interesting because even though they went through so much difficulties, anyayam and kastam, that means improper and dangerous things, because they... You know, he's saying you went through all that, but at the same time, he also understands that they were always protected because they were followers of Dharma, and so nothing bad can happen to them. Ultimately, Krishna and all the Brahmanas were giving them blessings, so they were always protected. So Srila Prabhupada writes, in the middle of that, as long as they were protected by these three important items, there was no cause of disappointment. And so, thus, Vishnu Dev encouraged Maharaj Yudhishthira to dissipate his despondency. So, as long as we follow all these three scriptures, we also shouldn't feel despondent. We should understand that we are doing the best, we are following the rules. That means, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, like that. So we have to see it like that, no matter how difficult the life is. So this also brings to point Tattenu Kampam Su Samakshamana. One has to be able to accept difficulties. As devotees, we should be able to accept difficulties. It is difficult, if it's too difficult and we cannot tolerate it, we should pray or see some sadhus or some devotees and talk about it, but not to get like one gives up on hope. One shouldn't give up on hope. Shouldn't become morose, not just morose, it's more than morose, you know. Becoming like, you know, someone who's giving up hope, you know. Yeah. So text 13. Samstita tirate pandau prita bala prajavadu yusmat krite bahun kleshan prapta tokavati muhu. As far as my daughter-in-law Kunti is concerned, upon the great general Pandu's death, she became a widow with many children and therefore she suffered greatly. And when you were grown up, she suffered a great deal also because of your actions. Okay, so Prabhupada says the sufferings of Kunti are doubly lamented. She suffered because her husband died when she was very young, and then she had to bring the child up. And when they were grown up, she continued to suffer because whatever her sons did, the Kauravas never liked it, so she suffered. Then Prabhupada says this means that she was destined to suffer by providence, and this one has to tolerate without being disturbed. So Kunti showed us an example of how all her life she suffered. So if we get a little difficulties here and there, we shouldn't become too morose and lament unnecessarily. So what is suffering, or what was the suffering? This is the suffering. So she suffered a lot. So we should try to see how, what kind of personalities can go through that. Only devotees can do that. Ordinary people cannot do this because they won't have the mental strength or ability. They'll have to go to a hospital or something. So sometimes we also, when we can't take certain things, if it's too much for us, then we should try to go and see, seek help. Not try to think that we are, because we are devotee, we don't need help. Sometimes we make foolish decisions. Oh, I'm a devotee, so I don't need to see a doctor, even if I'm sick. Right? Oh, I don't want to take medicine. I got a headache, but I think it's okay because it's not good for my body. But then you are tolerating so much headache, you're not executing your duty properly, right? So it's not correct. One should always enable oneself to do the service. Service is very important. Therefore, if we can take some medicine or take some Tylenol or whatever we take, right? Isn't it? Sometimes you get a headache, you have to take. I remember one time I had such a headache and I thought it'll go away, but it never went away. And then finally I had to take, then I felt better, then I could do something. Otherwise it's constantly disturbing you. So we have to be intelligent also. We don't want to, when our service is meant to give pleasure to Krishna, so when we are suffering, we can't serve Krishna. How can we please Krishna, right? So then there's something wrong in our understanding. That's why we have to always follow Guru Sadhu Shastra, this thing. And then sometimes we read something and we think we know for sure what it is, but we don't understand the higher principles sometimes. I think Harivilas Prabhu was trying to explain yesterday. The higher principle for ISKCON is the governing body. Because in the absence of Srila Prabhupada, the governing body is the higher principle. But many devotees cannot see that because we are either conditioned or we misunderstand what Srila Prabhupada's teachings are. So ultimately we have to ask the highest authority, and they are the highest authority. Because they are the highest because there are many, many intelligent and qualified and preachers there. So they all will talk about it and say yes or no. Even if they make a mistake, it is the thing doesn't fall on you. Because they are telling you, so you're following authority still. So we have to rise to this understanding. It may not be easy for some of us, but some of us can take it easily. But that's the principle. Okay? So this is one aspect of suffering we are seeing. Text 14. Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavatam jayat apriyam sapalo yat vase loko vayureva ganavali. In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time, under whose control everyone in every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind. So here, Bhishma Dev is talking about how time is affecting kala, shakti. In the purport, let's read what Prabhupada is saying. There is control by time all over the space within the universe, in this material world, as there is control by time all over the planets. All the big gigantic planets, including the sun, are being controlled by the force of air, as the clouds are carried by the force of air. Similarly, the inevitable kala or time controls even the action of the air and other elements. So, even the elements are under the control of kala. Everything, therefore, is controlled by the supreme kala, a forceful representative of the Lord within the material world. Now, Srila Prabhupada uses the word forceful. Why? It's not our under control and
forces. We are under this force.
Yes. You have no choice. It's forcing us to, like if we take birth in a body, it forces us to grow. Because of time, this body will grow so that you can overcome. You can't overcome, yes. The other thing is you, so that you can fulfill your desires. When the jivas are in the body of Mahavishnu, right, then he smiles and then he glances. Why? Because the jivas want to get out so that they can fulfill their desires. And without time element, you cannot fulfill your desires. Through this linear time, then you have a time to enjoy this, you have the time to enjoy this, you have time. Otherwise, it's not possible. Okay. So therefore, it forces you, whether you like it or you don't like it. It's going to force us. Yes, Prabhu.
Is it true about the devotional service also, as to who will be able to perform devotional service and who will be not able to do it, or is it also controlled by...
No, devotional service is independent, but we determine by our actions. Okay? Like if you take up the favorable actions, then you will take up devotional service. Now, if you do something unfavorable, then it's going to stop you from doing devotional services. So, it is not in that sense that there's such a time and then I will do it, devotional service. No, it's not like that. But there are pastimes you can see in Mahaprabhu when he invested his potency in this Padmavati lake or river there. For who?
Narottam
Das Goswami. They say in such and such time he will come, and at that time he will, when he takes birth, he will be revealed certain things. So that is predetermined by the Lord, certain things. But not that, in 5 years I will become a pure devotee like this. Not like that. It's devotional service is independent of everything else. But bhakti, the impetus for bhakti is bhakti itself. Okay? You take up bhakti because you see bhakti in someone, or you are attracted by bhakti itself. Just like Sukadev Goswami, when he heard the glorifications of Lord Sri Krishna, he was overwhelmed, even though he was Atmarama. So that's the power of bhakti. Yeah, but it's not that when you are like 4 or 5 years old, you're not mature, therefore you can't do bhakti, and therefore when you grow older, then you'll be able to do bhakti. It's not like that, okay? So that is not because of time. Yeah. Having said that, if you meet certain, sometimes people read astrology, and they will say at such and such time he'll take to the path of bhakti. It's not that because of time. It is because you may not be ready, and so Krishna will arrange for you to meet the devotees at such a time. So then you take it up seriously like that.
So I think in the recent classes somewhere in the book itself, I think, talked about Prabhupada, like the astrologer told Prabhupada when he was young that he would establish a lot of temples. So now that is foretold.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that because of time. You understand? His thing was going to happen anyway. It's not that because at that time then he is forced to do that. No. Yeah. Certain of our karma is due to time. It gets matured at certain age, this thing will manifest. So that those are different from bhakti. Yeah. Okay, let's not get confused with what is bhakti and time itself. Within the material world, the time forces things to grow, and Kali Yuga comes, you got no choice. Kali Yuga is coming. That's what's happening. It's forcing itself. And we have no choice. But we have to continue with still our devotional activities like that. Yeah.
So in this context, like Madhav Gaur and Prabhupada were one example. Well, not example, like still Prabhupada was asked a question. I want to become a pure devotee. One person came and asked, I want to become a pure devotee. And then Prabhupada told that you desire. Desire is the only one word that Prabhupada told. So in this context, can be anything, relation, any special of the sentence has any meaning for the question that Prabhupada asked?
No, he's asking about bhakti is coming through time. I'm saying no. Bhakti is independent of time. Right. Sometimes we see certain things happen, like he said, astrology and so on, but not that's not based on because at this time then only the bhakti sprouts because it's waiting for time. No, it's not because of that. It is sometimes under the purview of the Lord. He wants certain thing to happen at certain time. Everything else, if you read, continue reading, you'll see what Srila Prabhupada says. He says, thus Yudhishthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. That means it's going to happen. Everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. That means the karma reactions are going to happen within a certain time. Yudhishthira should not think that he had committed sins in his previous birth and is suffering the consequence. Right, so he's actually sinless. But the things are happening due to past reactions for other people. Even the most pious, okay, assuming you are a very pious person, has to suffer the conditions of material nature. It is inevitable. That means even a pious person has some reaction. Or he can live in a certain situation where there is droughts and everything. But what is the principle? He has to just simply tolerate those things. But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for he is guided by the bona fide Brahmana and Vaishnava following the religious principles. These three guiding principles should be the aim of life. One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Even the great controller of the universe, Brahmaji, is also under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by time despite being a true follower of religious principles. Yeah.
Should not think that he had committed sins in previous birth and is suffering the consequences. Should we take the life of Prabhupada,
Srila Prabhupada? Yes, that's right.
But it is not due to
karma. This is all set up by Providence or the Supreme Personality to teach us how great devotees go through such difficulties or tribulations. Yeah, they all also go through some difficulties, but they are always fixed.
One thing interesting is Prabhupada used the word forceful earlier, and later he says tricks of eternal time.
Yes.
Everything is a trick.
We can say it's trick. The trick is that we think it's happening and we get bewildered. So he says don't get bewildered by these things.
So maybe this is bewilderment, but I've seen like some pious people in my family, due to passage of time, they become impious. So they are no longer faithful to the Lord. So he says pious people, a pious man is faithful to the Lord. So it's not
pious people means they always are faithful. So when you say they were pious then and not impious later, then they may be just following some rules previously, but they never understood what it is. A pious person follows rules because they know why they are doing it. So we also have to know the proper definition of what piety is. Sometimes people are very fortunate that they never commit sin due to their past piety. But exactly, because of the very strong pious life in the past is protecting them. Or they may have done some bhakti and is protecting them.
Also there are two types of piety.
Huh?
Also there are two types of piety. Material piety and spiritual piety.
Oh yeah, I mean if you want to define piety that way. But we usually say piety and devotional life. Yeah, but yeah, you can say that. Sometimes it's referred like that.
So there's only three guiding principles, which is like the bona fide brahmanas, vaishnavas, and following the religious principles. So why did we use the bona fide brahmanas?
Sadhus. Text 15.
So one sense I've heard, the only thing we need to fear about that we deviate from these three. Not, we should really be concerned that if we, or we should be fearful about that we don't deviate from these three, right? And not other. That's our main concern. Other things which come, or etc., that's we have to tolerate.
Yes, that's what Prabhupada says.
At the very end, we should not deviate from
these three things, yeah, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. They have to agree with whatever we do. Yeah. Because it's going to come. Even if we take our devotional life now and do purely, whatever is supposed to come at this point, it's going to come. But Krishna will make it less. Remember we were reading earlier chapters? He'll make it less of a impact on us. Maybe we are supposed to, Prabhupada writes, right, early on, he was supposed to die, but then you get cut, you know, finger like that.
Actually, when I had my throat surgery,
yeah,
Lakshmipathi Prabhu was saying, actually, man, your head should have been cut off. Lord protected you.
So anyway, this verse, Yudhishthira is also a personality who is an incarnation of Dharma. So how can Dharma have karma? Understand? So I don't want to go into all this, but I'm just saying. So therefore, you have to understand it is not karma, but time itself, which is very forceful. It cannot be counted.
Won't people be tempted to say, oh, it is the
force of time.
Time
they can say,
so
but we,
can I do?
Yeah, that's right. We can say that's true, but you can chant Hare Krishna. You can take prasadam. Text 15. Yatra dharma suto raja gadha pani vriko daraha krishno sri gandivam chapam surit krishna stato vipar. How wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible otherwise. How can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhishthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion? Bhima, the great fighter with the club, the great bowman Arjuna with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. So this is, you know, very nicely put, you know. How could the time attack the Pandavas who were filled with all kind of pure loving relationship with Krishna? You know, it's not possible. Therefore, he's saying this is most astonishing. Now, with no other cause, this time has created this. Basically, it's Krishna. Huh? And it looks like they are suffering their karma, but actually they are not. So the verse is like that to show us that, you know, even though these personalities are, you know, directly coming from spiritual world, also they are going through like they are facing karma. So therefore he says it is irreversible. The influence of this time is irreversible. But actually, unless we take up spiritual life, it is not irreversible. It's not possible. And the reason is Krishna is there. He can do that. So Prabhupada writes in the middle of the paragraph, despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, right? Which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the? Exactly. So now try to understand. It makes more sense. And therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. So he wanted that to happen. Otherwise it's not possible. Not possible. So then Prabhupada says there is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of a human being. So same way, sometimes in your life you'll see you cannot control the outcome. You want to do something, then Krishna will put all your karma is so strong, it's going to force you. So what to do? Just tolerate it. How to tolerate? By taking shelter of the holy name and Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Right? It's not possible otherwise. It's not possible.
But so many times in these things, you know, there's so much to actually learn by that in itself also.
Yeah, you will learn. You can only learn if you can only learn if you are Krishna conscious. You don't learn if you are not Krishna conscious. You will just defy it and you fight it. You think it's okay, you know. Using the same example as previously, some people get sick but they say it's okay, you know. Why don't you go and see a doctor? No, I don't want to see a doctor. It's okay. They think they can overcome it. After it gets very serious, still they will think they can overcome it. But they never learn the lesson.
Or they may say, oh, it is Krishna's desire.
That's a kapal.
Yeah.
Krishna wants you to go and if your friends all tell you to see a doctor, that means can't Krishna speak through them? So this is all a kapal, excuses. But in reality, that's what it is. The problem is, as jivatmas, when we do not practice properly, we think we know the answers most of the time. But actually we don't know many things. That's why Guru Sadhu Sastra, check balance system. Prabhupada, I'm having this difficulty, what do you suggest? Then they may say, okay, do this. Then you go and ask another sadhu, a few sadhus. Then more than 50 or 60% say you should do something, then you have to understand there is a greater, you know, inclination that Krishna wants me to do that. Then final authority, you check with your guru. Or if you have no guru, then the local authority. Yeah. Like that. Text 16.
Nahi asya karhi chet rajan puman veda vidistitam yad vijignasaya yukta muyanti kavayopihi.
O king, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Shri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. So now he is addressing Maharaj Yudhishthira. He understands why Maharaj Yudhishthira is also there. That he is lamenting. So basically he is saying everything is under the jurisdiction of Krishna. So whatever Krishna plans, no one can really understand it. It's not possible to understand. So he says, So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhishthira over his past sinful acts and the resultant sufferings, etc., is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons or Mahajan. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhishthira that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. And this actually applies for all cases. But because our nature is rebellious and so on, so it is sometimes necessary to question things so that we can be convinced. But the best policy is simply to abide by the orders without argument. Now, then Prabhupada then concludes this thing. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds.
The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore his own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. No one else actually can do this. Okay? No ordinary personalities can do. Only the devotee of Krishna could have gone through so much suffering and still maintain their sanity. It's not possible. You and I, we won't be able to do that. It's not possible. So then Bhishma Dev acknowledges, you know, that whatever happened was the plan of Krishna, and then ultimately his plan was to do so many things and it caused so much difficulty, but so that he can put the Pandavas as the kings. And he didn't mind, Krishna didn't mind killing 640 million people in the battlefield. Because the principle, the higher principle is more important. The dharma has to be established. So you find many people argue Krishna killed so many people, this, that, that. But they don't understand what the real principles Krishna is trying to implement. If you don't know, then you'll say he is just a bad person. How can he do wrong, right? First of all, even that thing people cannot understand. Because mundane logic and mundane philosophy cannot be understood on a transcendental level.
That's what dharma
is. Yes, that's perfection. When Krishna steals, everybody is so happy. And they sing about it and glorify it. But you go and steal something, you know, you'll get a black mark and police will come and catch you, right? Right? Correct, no? It doesn't work like that. So he wanted to execute this plan to establish the kingdom of virtue. So, and Bhishma Dev was fighting against Krishna to show that even if you are a Mahajan, you are still not going to win the battle, which is not the plan of the Lord. So these are parts played by pure devotees to show us the Lord has a certain way he understands, and either you follow him or you suffer. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument.
I was hearing in the lecture that Bhishma Dev was such a great devotee, he was ready
to take the opposite, yes.
That throughout eternity people will later on question him why he did something like this, you know, they are always doubting that. But he wanted to play this part just to the Lord's will to show this.
Yeah, to please the Lord is more important than to be righteous. The Lord, just like the Lord told Yudhishthira, you know, this lie that Ashwatthama is dead, so the Dronacharya will not fight. And from mundane point of view, this is totally unacceptable. Not at all acceptable. But Dronacharya also made mistakes when he was siding with the Kauravas. He didn't do the righteous things, right? He kept quiet. So therefore, the principle is they don't deserve to be treated in that way. Huh? Yeah. Same with Bhishma Dev. He had to die because he took side for the adharmic purposes. Once you cross that line, chop chop. It's harsh. But it seems harsh because we are seeing from a mundane point of view. Always. We are not seeing from Krishna's point of view. That's why when the guillotine falls, we think, oh, that's so bad, you know. But the truth is, they didn't follow Krishna's desire. They went against Krishna's desire. And it was, and according to Vedic principles, if you don't help a woman in suffering and who's been disrobed and about to be molested, then you're going to die. And when Abhimanyu was being killed, all this Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, all kept, and they participated in an illegal thing, so they had to be killed. It was illegal and it's against Dharma. So therefore they went against Dharma. So therefore the point is, if you go, you cannot win even though you are a Mahajan, if you will go against rules to, and then you ultimately you will go do the wrong things, which is what happened to both Dronacharya and Bhishma Dev.
Doesn't matter whoever you are, you all follow Dharma. Only in Vrindavan, Krishna is controlled by Prema. Outside of Vrindavan, if we don't follow Dharmic principles, we will be chopped. Only in Vrindavan that Krishna is controlled by Prema. Once you come outside of the boundary of Vrindavan, everybody has to follow strictly Dharma. So at least they got to face the consequences.
Really? I'm not sure. But sounds interesting.
As they know, in practical life, we see that Krishna, for Krishna's purpose, it can be, or in one sense, like Buddhist speaking a lie, or things like that. So we can tend to become dishonest for other things in our practical dealings.
Yeah, but you see, I'll
cross the law.
No, you see, everything that happened, they went through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
Yeah.
So Krishna, Supreme Lord, is saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to do something different, then either your guru, sadhu, shastra tell you to do that.
If we do on our own whims,
It is possible. I have seen devotees who will read the shastra very thoroughly and they will do the wrong things and they will quote the shastra. So they want to do. It is possible. But because they are thinking and doing it. But they never check with the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra.
Like there is this example of, I think sometimes devotees went to somebody's flower garden, picked up all the flowers from there because this Krishna's flower.
This has been going on.
So,
but this, there is a video, if you look in the first, Yadubhaya did the video, right, the first one. In there is a conversation in Melbourne. Where this owner of a flower nursery or what brings a lawyer and speaks to Prabhupada. So, and then the devotees took it and he questioned them and they told him, "You are a thief, you took from Krishna." So he was very unhappy. So he comes and talks to Prabhupada and Prabhupada talks to him very nicely, very softly, and then Prabhupada tells him, and he says, "Yes, it is true that everything belongs to the Lord," and he explains how. And then he says, "Therefore, you're a thief, you know." So then the man, he says, "I can accept you calling me a thief, but I cannot accept how they tell me." So it was a very interesting video, but it's the way, adhikar as well as its purity also. And the point is, the way they said it is, they accused the guy of being stealing. But Prabhupada didn't accuse him. Prabhupada explained why he is in a position of a thief. So that proper understanding is important. And when you explain to people also, you don't go and tell him, "Oh, you are in Maya, right?" Just like that. That's devotees always do that. From the first time I joined, that's all I hear, you're in Maya. But that's not the way you convince a person he or she is in Maya. It's like through the scripture you say why this is a wrong action. If you do everything Krishna wants, then it's not Maya. Then people will understand, "Oh, I have to do what Krishna wants. You're in Maya. What Maya? What are you talking about?" "Oh, you're living with your family, you're in Maya." This is how in those early days it was.
Also, in general, if it comes to know that devotee is dishonest in his dealings, it's a very bad impression in the society about devotees.
Even if you don't follow strictly, the mundane aspect already shows that it's not good. You don't have to really go so far, right? So, an intelligent person will know I'm doing right or wrong. But if he or she is covered, then they will do whatever they want to do. That means they are under the control of the senses. Basically, they are not surrendered. Now, such personalities, when they continue with such mood and attention into doing the wrong thing, will send the message to so many devotees that he or she is not qualified actually. Within a short period, many people will either stay away from them or they will address the person as, he's in Maya. Yeah. Yeah, so in any case, you cannot cheat. Everyone can see that if you cheat. Yeah, devotees will see through you. So therefore, you have to be truthful and honest to execute this. Text 17. Yeah. So, the previous verse, just to end, the verse says that even those who use their intelligence to discriminate and those who use knowledge of scripture are also bewildered by inquiry. Because Krishna is not someone you can understand. He's a mystery. Text 17. Tasmaridam Devatantram Vyavasya Bharata Rishabha Tasyanu Vihito Nata Nata Pahi Praja Prabhu. O best among the descendants of Bharata, Yudhishthira, I maintain therefore that all this is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you must follow it. You are now the appointed administrative head, and my Lord, you should now take care of those subjects who are now rendered helpless. Huh? Oh. Okay, so we know that the plan of the Lord is very difficult to understand. So in the same way, we have to understand that the purpose of giving happiness and distress to his own devotees is not easily understood as well. Okay, so both this we cannot understand. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj is, Bhishmadev is therefore saying, just follow Krishna. Just follow what Krishna tells you, and then you take care of the citizens and bring them to Krishna. So that is the purport there. So Prabhupada uses the popular saying, and that a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. So Krishna used the Pandavas to teach the general people. So that's what it is. So then in the middle of the paragraph, now because we are all trying to be devotees of Krishna, this is a very important thing for us to think about. A devotee's duty, therefore, is to ungrudgingly accept tribulations from the Lord as a benediction. So it's a challenge, but you have to see. Not that you just think every difficulty is a tribulation. You can if you are very advanced, but you have to question also. You have to check with the authorities and say, why am I going through this? And if they say, just accept it, then you accept it as Krishna. Okay, because I've seen too many cases, people are crazy, they'll read this sentence and then